and welcome or welcome back to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss history and mythology's most notorious mistresses and lovers. In this episode, we'll be going back to England to discuss the love life of Henry II, and by that, I mean we'll be discussing his most well-known mistresses, including Rosamunda Clifford, Ida de Tosny, and Alice of France. There might be a couple more I might get into, so I'll keep it posted. This will be a mini-series about the three women. Each woman will get their own episode. We'll be starting with Fair Rosamunda Clifford. Before getting into her life, we do need to bring back the definition of a mistress. Per Cambridge Dictionary, a mistress is defined as a woman who has a sexual relationship over a long period of time with a man who is not her husband. And of course, my contextual definition. A woman who has a sexual relationship with a man who is not her husband, regardless of his marital state. So, before we get into Rosamund's life, we actually need to do a deep dive into Henry's life. I'm only going to do this one time, and then from there, with each progressing episode, I will then start with the meet-cutes between Henry and his mistress, and move on from there. Henry is the penultimate medieval king, and his love life did not deter him from ruling a large or a vast empire. So, over the next 3 to 4 episodes, we'll be discussing Henry's harlot. I'm only naming that for the alliteration, nothing more. These women are, as I said earlier, Rosamunda Clifford, which will be this episode, Yen Kai, Ida de Tosny, and Alice of France, who became the Countess of Vexin. But before we get into the lovely ladies, we do need to do a background on Henry himself. I thought this was going to be brief when I was writing it out. No. So, let's get started. Henry was born to the former Holy Roman Empress Matilda and Geoffrey IV, Count of Anjou and Maine. For reference, Anjou borders Normandy to the north, Brittany to the west, Poitou, where his future wife is from the south, and Blois to the east, which also borders the Ile-de-France, the French royal domain. His father, Geoffrey, married Matilda in 1128. By 1133, Henry was popped out, and yay! He was born on the 5th of March, 1133, in Le Mans, Maine, Kingdom of France. Two more sons were born, Geoffrey IV, Count of Nantes, from the 1st of June, 1134, and he died on the 27th of July, 1158. And his younger brother, William, Count of Dieppe, the 22nd of July, 1136, to the 30th of January, 1164. In 1135, Henry I, also known as Beauclerc and friend of the show, died, and there was a power struggle between his daughter Matilda, Henry's mother, and her cousin Stephen of Blois. Though through many battles, including the Battle of the Standard in 1138, the Battle of Lincoln in 1141, and the Battle of Wilton in 1143, this period was known as the Anarchy, basically the two cousins fighting. To make a very long story short, Stephen usurped the throne from Matilda after Henry I had his barons swear allegiance to Matilda, but they backed out and supported Stephen instead. By 1143, after the Battle of Wilton, Stephen was able to claim the throne. His son Eustace was designated as his heir, but karma has a way of balancing the scales. In 1153, Eustace died before his father. So after losing his son, Queen Matilda of Boulogne, after she too died, Stephen finally came to an agreement with Matilda as having her son Henry become his heir apparent in the Treaty of Wallingford. So if you'd like more in-depth information, please listen to the episodes on Rex Factor discussing Stephen I and the first season, and in the third season for the royal consort Matilda of Boulogne. Did an amazing job covering the intricacies of the anarchy, and Allie was just there. Anyway, by 1153, Henry inherited the Kingdom of England and the Duchy of Normandy. He also usurped his brother Geoffrey for the titles of Count of Anjou and Maine, because according to his father's will, when he died, his second son, Geoffrey, who became Geoffrey IV, was supposed to become the Count of Anjou and Maine, since Henry got the Kingdom of England and the Duchy of Normandy. But Henry didn't do that. He just took it. Anyway, but the surprises no one. Before his inheritance in 1153, as the Count of Anjou and Maine, Henry was a vassal to King Louis VII of France. Though not conducted on an annual or regular basis, Henry visited the royal court with his father, Geoffrey III, to the court in Paris, and that's where he initially met Eleanor and Louis in 1151. Now we need to do some comparisons between Louis and Henry. They were complete opposites. Louis was not the Dauphin originally. That was his brother Philip, but he died in 1131, making Louis the next in line for the French throne. That said, Louis had prepared for an ecclesiastical life, not that of a kingly one. Louis was also the more subdued, virtuous, and quite frankly, monkish child of Louis VI and Adelaide of Maurienne. But in 1137, he married the impressive Duchess, in her own right, by the way, of Aquitaine, Eleanor. Her father willed that his daughters Eleanor and Petronilla became wards of the French royal family to prevent any kidnappings or political maneuverings where Eleanor would lose her inheritance. Louis VI took this advantage wardship by marrying his son and heir to Eleanor. And by doing this, he expanded the French royal domain. Now, with their marriage, the French royal lands expanded enormously. However, it should be noted that the lands were owned outright to Eleanor and only part of the royal domain as long as she was married to Louis VII. During their marriage, Louis and Eleanor had two children. Marie of France, who became the Countess of Champagne, was born in 1145 and died in about 1198. And then there's Alex of France, who became the Countess of Vexin, born in 1150 and died around 1197-98. Then 1152 came round. By 1152, the marriage between Louis and Eleanor had broken down. Eleanor did not provide a male heir to Louis, only the two daughters mentioned previously. And after having medieval marriage counseling with Bernard of Clairvaux, the marriage was over. Eleanor came from Aquitaine, which was known for a literary and colorful culture, including the courtly love troubadours, looking at you, William IX, where the arts flourished. Paris in the 1100s did not look like what we modern people envision it to be today. No wide boulevards, no massive museums. No, it was dank and it was swampy. Medieval Paris would have been lovely for Shrek. But Louis, ever the pious one, started implementing building projects to better expand and entice people to come to Paris and the royal domain. This included the start of the building of the Notre Dame and what we know now as the Latin Quarter, or the current 5th and the 6th arrondissement. Anyway, by 1152, Eleanor had had enough and called for an annulment from their marriage. Her reasoning? Consanguinity, or too closely related between her and her husband. The real reason? Well, Eleanor pushed out two girls and no legitimate male heir. However, Louis loved Eleanor and was not in favor of having their marriage dissolved. But Louis's council members were also not keen on Eleanor in any case. I should also note that due to the annulment, two things happened. One, Eleanor retained all of her lands, and two, Louis retained custody of their two daughters, and they did not lose their legitimacy. Now, the big issues that arose from the annulment, Eleanor's safety as a single woman, due to her inheritance and the power that came with it. It now came to pass, what was she going to do? Eleanor had to remarry quickly. She was a hot commodity. There were at least two plots to kidnap Eleanor. One was from Geoffrey of Anjou, younger brother of Henry, and the second was from Theobald V, Count of Blois, who actually ended up marrying her daughter. Ugh, anyway, gross. But to protect herself, Eleanor remembered the young heir to the counties of Anjou and Maine and the Kingdom of England, let alone the Duchy of Normandy. 8 weeks after the dissolution of her marriage from Louis, Eleanor, aged around 29 or 30, married Henry. In 1153, Henry was then crowned King of England, Duke of Normandy, and the Counts of Anjou and Maine. Shit just got real. Within a span of 20 years, Eleanor provided Henry with 8 children, unlike Louis. The majority of them actually survived to adulthood. Let's go over the kids. First, there was William. He was born the 17th of August, 1153, and died in 1156. He died young, around 2 years old, and his death was attributed to a seizure, and he was buried at the feet of his great-grandfather, Henry I, at Wallingford Castle. Next, young Henry, or Henry the Young King. He was born the 28th of February, 1155, and died June 11th, 1183. He was the initial heir apparent. He was actually supposed to be crowned, like in the French style, and that's why he was known as the Young King, to be Henry II's successor. But, in due part to all the rebellions, because Henry kept shifting lands, responsibilities, and inheritances, and Henry the Young King was not happy about that. because some of the lands and the castles that he was supposed to get as the heir went to his youngest brother, John. We'll get there. Anyway, the little shit died from the shits. Next, we have Richard I, or also Richard the Lionheart, or Lionhearted. He was a crusader and heir to Eleanor's lands in Aquitaine. Also, Richard was Eleanor's favorite child. He eventually became the successor to Henry II in 1189. He reigned from the 3rd of September 1189 to the 6th of April 1199. He also married Berengaria of Navarre. He ruled for 10 years, only of which 6 months was spent in England. Geoffrey II, Duke of Brittany. He's the middle son and was probably ignored. Anyway, he married the Duchess of Brittany in her own right, Constance, also father of Arthur I, Duke of Brittany. Colossal pain in the ass for Henry II and religious sinners, as he used to raid them for money to raise capital for military campaigns. And the last son, John I, who was born on the 24th of December, 1166, in Oxford, and died on the 19th of October, 1216. This motherfucker. He was his favorite son of Henry II. He was also known as John Lackland due to being the youngest child and son. He'll get his own episode. Henry and Eleanor had three daughters. Matilda, who became the Duchess of Saxony. She was born in June 1156 and then died around June, July of 1189. And then Eleanor, who became the Queen Consort of Castile and then the Countess of Toledo. She was born in 1161 and died on 31st of October, 1214. Then there were three other daughters, Joan of England, who became the Queen of Sicily, and the Countess of Toulouse. She was born October 1165 and died the 4th of September 1199. So we got to know a bit about Henry's ascension and royal family. I also need to give a brief physical description of the man. Henry, as described by contemporaries, was a short man with broad shoulders and red hair with freckles. The man's demeanor was not as charming as his father Geoffrey, and he was not as regal bearing as his mother Matilda, but he was a man with frenetic energy, along with a stocky build and bow-legged stance due to his long time upon his saddled horses. Henry's temperament can be described as thus. He had a passionate temper, prone to fits of anger, Thomas at Becket and Eleanor's imprisonment, but also he was witty amongst his audience, even with the commoners and nobility alike. One person who knew Henry described him as, "He is a lamb in good humor, but he is a lion, or worse than a lion, when he is seriously angry. But no one is more gentle to the distressed, more affable to the poor, more overbearing to the proud." Now, we have the jib, or the cut, of Henry II. While he had a large family with Eleanor, she was not the only woman to keep his bed straws warm at night. For now, we start a new mini-series on Henry's harlots, starting with Rosamunda Clifford. Rosamunda Clifford was the first of many mistresses that Henry II had. She's one of the most notable. So, let's get into her background. Rosamund was born around 1140 near her home at Clifford Castle, located in Hereford, England. Her parents were Walter de Clifford, who was a marcher or border lord between England and Wales, and his wife Margaret de Toeny. Walter and Margaret did have a total of 6 children, of which Rosamund was the youngest. Probably at a young age, I'm assuming around 6 to 8 years old, she was educated at the nunnery at Goodstow Abbey, for which she is attributed to her at her death. As for their meet-cute, it's possible that Rosamund and Henry met while he was making his progress throughout the country. That said, they would have met in the 1150s during this time as well. Henry and his wife, former French queen and duchess in her own right, Eleanor of Aquitaine, were expanding their legitimate brood. As historian Jan Jones has said in The Devil's Brood, the brood includes Henry the Young King, Richard, and of course, John. Now, I'm just going to hit the nail on the head. There's scant information on Rosamunda Clifford's background because, one, it's the medieval era, and two, she's a woman, so therefore a lot of information, unlike compared to Eleanor of Aquitaine, has not been recorded, so we're doing the best we can, or rather, I'm doing the best I can, trying to get as much information as I can out to you folks. In any case, Henry and Rosamund may have initiated their relationship while Henry was recuperating from fighting off rebellions, particularly with the Welsh, in the 1160s. According to unofficial royalty website, Rosamund and Henry met in or around 1163. Do you know what this means? She wasn't very, very young. She was in like her late teens to maybe early 20s when they met. So that makes me feel so much better. Unlike many English or British kings to come, Henry and Rosamund's affair was very discreet. Knowledge of their affair wasn't publicized until 1174, which means it wasn't publicized until after Eleanor was imprisoned by Henry due to her aiding and abetting and encouraging her sons to rebel against their father. So favored Henry to Rosamund, Henry had gifted her the palace in Woodstock. Apparently, while Eleanor was pregnant with John, of Robin Hood fame, of course, in 1166, she was initially to go to Woodstock for her confinement. But due to Rosamund's allegedly residing there, Eleanor opted to go to Beaumont Palace, also located in Oxford. During the affair with Rosamund, the relationship with Eleanor soured. Their relationship never healed after 1173 due to their sons, again led by Henry the young king, to unseat Henry, which was also encouraged by Eleanor. While Henry forgave his sons, he never forgave Eleanor for her involvement. So it becomes important to know that Henry was never alone, even when married to Eleanor. So as a way to piss off Henry, she got involved and encouraged the rebellion from their sons. The one son that hurt Henry the most was John, as he was Henry's favorite child. Oh well! Some historical accounts have made the assertions that Henry and Rosamund may have had children. However, due to the lack of historical records, including secular or church records, they are not available. So at this point, the fruition of their relationship is speculation at best. It was during this time, 1173 to 1174, when Eleanor was imprisoned, in that the relationship with Rosamund was acknowledged. However, after publicly announcing their affair, it didn't last much longer. Even if they had children, and again, nothing's been recorded, it's possible that if the children were born from their relationship, they may not have lasted past infancy or at least early childhood, as that was very common during the medieval era. By 1175 to 1176, Henry and Rosamund ended their affair. Sometime in 1176, Rosamund retired to Goodstow Abbey, the same abbey and nunnery that she went to when she was a young girl, before her own death in 1176. Because of his favor towards Rosamund, and I'll get into the myth a little bit later, Henry paid for her burial at Goodstow Abbey. She was laid to rest in the choir at the abbey, per unofficial royalty, and also, due to her popularity, Rosamund's tomb, created and lovingly tended by the nuns, her burial site was also a popular local shrine to visit. By 1191, the Bishop of Lincoln, Hugh of Lincoln, paid a visit and thought that the burial was too much for a woman of ill repute. Remember, Rosamund was having an affair with Henry. Hugh of Lincoln then ordered Rosamund's remains to be relocated and removed from the church grounds. Furthermore, Hugh of Lincoln stated that because he called her a harlot and the bishop ordered her remains to be removed from the church, her placement at the choir or by the high altar offended Hugh of Lincoln so much that he told the nuns that they had to move her tomb because, again, as a harlot, she should not be revered and prayed for like a woman of high standing. Asshole. Unfortunately, or fortunately maybe in Hugh of Lincoln's eyes, Rosamund's last resting place did not stay peaceful because when Henry VIII broke from the Roman Catholic Church in the 1530s because of the dissolution of the monasteries. As the myth goes, Henry added at Woodstock Palace a labyrinth. As I mentioned earlier, Henry gifted Woodstock Palace for Rosamund's use during their affair. According to legend, Eleanor was at Woodstock and found out about Henry's infidelity with the fair Rosamund, and she then concocted a plan to end it. According to royalcentral.co.uk, Eleanor used a silken thread to trace the path of the labyrinth. Once Eleanor found Rosamund, she then gave Rosamund two choices. One, death by poison, or two, death by a dagger. Rosamund chose the poison, according to the story. But wait, there's another gruesome version of how Rosamund died. Eleanor, in a fit of rage, had Rosamund horrifically stabbed, burnt alive, and then to top it all off, Eleanor left Rosamund to die in a scalding hot bath. Now let's get back to reality. Keep in mind, however, it is conclusively not true that Eleanor killed or murdered her husband's lover. Remember, by 1173 to 1174, when the relationship was publicly acknowledged, Eleanor was already being imprisoned in Wiltshire and Old Sarum Castle due to her involvement and encouragement for her son's rebellion against Henry. It would have taken on foot or in a carriage 2 to 4 days to get to Wiltshire to the Oxfordshire area. By car, it's 1.5 to 2 hours depending on weather and traffic. And if Jeremy Clarkson was driving, it'd probably take 45 minutes to an hour. So what it really comes down to is Eleanor did not murder her husband's tart. It is noted by Dr. Mike Ibeji, I hope I'm saying that right, in a BBC article that Rosamund was the love of Henry's life. But with Rosamund's early demise, This did not dissuade Henry from finding another bedmate, because, you know, like, he needed to keep his bed straws warm. Well, that's the end of Rosamunda Clifford's story. We will be moving on to Henry's next bedmate, and I'll let you know when I figure that one out. I think it's going to be Ida de Tosny or Inkai. I haven't figured that out yet, but thank you for joining me on today's episode. The next episode should be forthcoming on Henry's next harlot. Until then, try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, as I may just end up telling your story. If you want, you can visit my website, sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site, or you can email the show if you have any requests or comments to make at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. The show was written, produced, and edited by me. The show artwork is from Jan Steen's A Girl Eating Oysters. The episode art for this episode is provided by John William Waterhouse, Fair Rosamond. Music was provided by the Advent Chamber Orchestra, performing Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Violins in A Minor, RV 522. And if you need any music, you can go to museopen.org. Again, thank you for joining me on today's episode. Until next time, bye!